I'm Adam Pendlebury.
I'm Barry Worthington.
I'm Paul Thorpe.
And this is the Progress with Unity podcast. Manchester United came into town Monday evening and left with a 2-0 victory and a trip to either Newport County or East Lee. Now, East Lee would have been all right for us. Is it the number 507, Buzz? That's actually 3-3.
I can get number 8. Yeah. Or is that West Lee?
Yeah, so we missed the trick though, aren't we? That would have been a real derby game, that.
Yeah, and the other one, I mean, going to Isle of Wight would have been quite nice as well.
Ferry across this Solent. Yeah, Newport County, where we signed Neil Bailey from.
Mike Flynn, had a successful management. But we're not playing him, so...
Wigan Athletic 0, Manchester United 2. It panned out as people thought it probably would do, facing a Premier League side. 9 times out of 10, you are going to get beaten, no matter who they are, when you're in the third tier. And that's how it turned out. But I thought it was a valiant performance from the lads and full of pride.
For all the dreaming, we expected to get beat, didn't we, realistically? Good performance. I've not had any news of any injuries. All we really wanted to do was get through it without losing anybody. I think we've done that and been a credit to the club and a credit to the team.
A few players stood up, didn't they, to be counted, I thought, who certainly matched Man United. I think credit definitely to Odegaard. I thought he didn't look out of place there in that midfield. Charlie Hughes again, beating players and then striding it out. We lost one of the greats of that, didn't we? On the same day, and I think Hughes did put in a Beckenbauer performance. There's a massive quality difference. You don't get what you pay for, because United have not got what they paid for, but they've paid a hell of a lot more for players than us, and they're all internationals apart from probably their best player in the midfield.
They started with 10 full internationals and one young lad. He was head and shoulders their best player. Manu, thought he had a sensational game, that lad. For me, a real quality player, though. One of our unsung heroes, who I thought had a really good game, and you're talking about people standing up. I didn't vote for him in the Man of the Match poll, but I watched it again afterwards. I came home, and I watched it again. There was a reason behind that, which I'll come to later. So it was 3 o'clock before I shut my weary eyes. But Liam Shaw, I thought he just run himself into the ground. I know we'll talk about the penalty incident later, or the non-penalty incident later. Set that out of the equation. He had a superb game.
Did we raise our game? I put that as a question, because I don't think we particularly did. I just think nobody did anything more special than they've
got. Asgard's put his best.
But he's been injured, hasn't he? So, but that quality's in him and he can do that. Just continue to do what we've done against what is unarguably much stronger opposition. And I think if you just take that belief in yourself into some of the other games, that then becomes confidence in those games. Even though we've lost and we've gone out, I do think it sets us up in a good place for the rest of the season.
I mean, you learn a lot in defeat, and if you think, I know it's different, but I remember Martinez took a lot out of the Man City away game when we played really, really well that day. And it gives you belief that you can match a team. In some areas, it's not the same. It's not the same level. But there are players on that pitch. Like, Asgard must be buzzing after that, because I hardly remember him giving the ball away. And he was also getting stuck in a lot. His passing was intelligent and confident. He's going to come out of that game feeling top of the world. His fitness looks like it's back. We know what he's like. If he plays in that position, he plays to that level. He's a level above what we're at the moment. I think what you've got to say is, when you're saying about raising the game, I think a lot of our players have actually raised their game all through this season, because essentially they've gone from being under-21s or youth players to coming into League One football with some big sides in there. And yeah, they've made mistakes at times, but they stepped up.
You mentioned Asgard there, Adam, and I nominated Tello Asgard as my man of the match after the game, and I got a little bit of, I'll not say abuse, but there were people questioning it. So I watched the game again, and that's the reason I came home and then watched it again. And I thought he was excellent. And I even checked his stats on SofaScore, because people who were talking to me about him said he consistently gave the ball away, but he didn't. His stats were very similar to Marshall Goddard's. Very similar in the number of touches they'd had, the possession they kept, the key passes that they made. I mean, all right, he missed that chance early doors. Not saying he missed it, because he got the ball on the target, and it was on his left foot. I think if Stevie Humphries had been coming in with a left footer, he might have had more control, because he can use either feet. But Tello's right footed. So I thought he did very well. Another day, it goes under his body and it's in the back of the net. He made a couple of absolutely superb passes. One out wide to Marshall Goddard was just sublime. But he also stood up strong in midfield as well. There were times when he was winning the ball with about two or three players around him, and he was coming away with it. And I know you mentioned before we started recording, Adam, about he won us a few free kicks as well.
Yeah, it's like the end of the day, as we'll be talking about later, if you feel that slightest touch, you go down and you get the decision with a Premier League referee. Asgard, comparable to Fernandez.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think what you're saying is everything was absolutely solid. For Asgard to get man of the match, usually there is some magic in there somewhere. I think there wasn't much scope for magic, but there also was a lot of graft, a lot of getting the simple things right.
I didn't think we varied too much from our normal game plan, where we looked to counter quickly, and we were doing that. The only difference being was the level of opposition was a lot better than what we face in League One. So I mentioned Manu earlier on, and he was just taking the ball. He took the ball off goal one time. He just took it off him. And that was the difference for me. It was the final third, and obviously they had a few chances as well.
Some of the passing and moving that they were doing at one point, particularly down the right-hand side, our left, when we were defending the south stand, for as much moving and trickery as they were doing, and intricate little passing and moving, we weren't overawed by it. We weren't getting out of position. Everybody was concentrating. Everybody was doing the right things. You know, they were in the right place, they were staying on the feet, and I just thought we were solid. I just think that they were spot on, even though they lost 2-0.
Team selection, we couldn't pick a team on Sunday, or we couldn't agree on a team. The team that Sean Maloney went with was Tittlecler, Hughes, Morrison, Sessegnon, which we did pick. Chor and Adeko, again, we did pick. And then Asgard, Jones, Godot, and Humphries, and we had some sort of variations around that. I know Paul said you've got to play Asgard, and there was some question whether Lange had been there or not. It was a reasonable team to put out, one that you could reasonably expect. The stats, we had 33% possession, 9 attempts. United had 33. We had 2 on target. United had 14. We had 2 corners, so there were 12. Committed 6 fouls to United's 9. And no player received a card from either side. The attendance of 22,870 was 7,506. Away day trippers. Not a bad attendance for a Monday night with a game on telly.
How many people get against Sunderland that League One game? Bring a friend.
Just 20,000 and something it was that. Yeah, so we beat that.
That'll probably be our biggest crowd since the Premier League.
It's the biggest gate we've had since we played Aston Villa in our final Premier League game. Godot had his little flick from Stevie Humphries' effort, which cannoned off. Well, I think it clipped a player going through. He's possibly going out for a corner. And I don't know what it is. It looked like he tripped over the ball. And Dallow scored on 22 minutes with what was a very good finish. Thought he took it really well. And then we get to the crux of the matter. We're into the final quarter. And then Anthony Taylor thought, you know what, I'll give him a penalty. Never a penalty in the memory of man.
I think it's one of those that's in the category of soft penalty, but penalty. There's no way that if there had been a VAR, there's no way that would have been overturned. Anthony Taylor thought about it for a second, gave the penalty, and like I said before, with being clever, Bruno Fernandes was clever. He sure had a great game. You can't come sliding across because there's every chance that you'll catch somebody. And even though it was the tiniest, and I'm doing tiniest with my finger and thumb here, it was a penalty.
It wasn't.
Oh, he was diving before he even touched it. He knew he was going to be there, and he's like, right, okay, I can start to dive here and let my foot get touched. Even Howard Webb would have been ashamed giving that.
Will you get too much bump? Retrospectively, it's seen that you've dived and you've won a penalty, and it's a too much bump.
You know why they won't give him a bump? Because of the reason he said if VAR were there, they'd have given it. If you tickle someone under the armpits, you get a penalty is given. That it was never. You look at that incident and say to yourself, if that happens on any Saturday or Tuesday in League One, is the referee going to be pointing to the spot with that amount of contact? Taylor saw, you said he's seen it, he's thought about it, he's probably scraped his foot very, very slightly. and he's thought, that's enough for me to award a penalty. If you're talking proper football, not Premier League football, but proper football in League One and League Two, does that get given as a penalty? That's all I'm asking. It was a Sam Tittle. That's all it was. It was nothing more. If that's what it's like in the Premier League, then not for me, thank you.
We'll stay where we are.
We'd still be getting off car park now if the VAR, wouldn't we?
Oh, God, yeah. The subs for the last six, McGuinness for Humphries on 59 minutes, McManaman and Johnny Smith for Jones and Shaw on 78, and Lange for Godot on 90+2. The last six man of the match was voted for by our listeners on Facebook and Twitter. Last six number one, Super Sam Tittle. Well done, Sam, on getting that accolade. Callum Lang, at the end of the game, there's some people posted about the way he left the pitch and he looked very upset, putting one and one together and coming up with about 98, I think, saying it was his last game. I don't know. There's been some rumours knocking about, but one was a move to Portsmouth in the offing, but that's been flatly denied by a respected journalist from on the South Coast who says absolutely not true. Adam said he'd heard somebody had come up with Rotherham.
Yeah, Rotherham with Liam Richardson, Link, and obviously he had his best, well, he's probably his two best seasons of football, didn't he? Or one and a half seasons of football under Liam Richardson. To me, I don't think he's a championship player, personally. I think his confidence is a bit low this year, and I also don't think he's playing in his best position, and I think that's, he struggled a bit with his confidence, but I still want him to stay at Wigan.
I think he would desperate to have had a game, and I think one of the other criticisms that we could have done to have kicked a few lumps out of him, I think he'd have got stuck in with that as well.
And Monaghan had a couple of goals, didn't he? Only had 12 minutes, but he managed to get a couple of kicks in there.
He didn't get boots either, which was a real big shock. So well done, Cal, for that. I think he deserves one of the match for that. I've seen something today in, I don't know which paper it was, online somewhere, Garnacho, and they're praising him for the way he told McManaman to do one. He looked like he pooed his pants when McManaman squared up to him. I don't know. My goodness. The ticketing. There's been quite a bit of criticism about access to the stadium. I'll be honest with you, we got in all right. I've got in at the south stand. Everybody seemed to be going through quite okay. When we got into the stand itself, though, different matter, people sat in other people's seats, so there's a bit of confusion going on there. But I have heard stories of people's tickets not working.
Yeah, it was a bit slow in the west stand. I called it like the Aldi shopping aisles where you're queuing up at the till, and then the stewards were getting you to move to another line. And then on that other line, there was a problem then with someone's ticket. We don't really know whether it's a technical problem our end or some people go who's got the wrong ticket. But there was a few saying that they were told to go to the ticket office to get it sorted. And some people were saying they only got in at half time. Or they ran out of pies as well in the west stand.
Yeah, we had a few in front of us in the queue for the south stand that were United fans queuing in front of the wrong stand. I mean, how you do that, I don't know.
Right, anyway, we finished playing Man United for a few seasons, so thank goodness for that. The circus has left the town. Let's move on and get back to normality. Jason Kerr, great to see him back on the bench and also turning out for the under 20, I don't know what they are these days, under 23s, under 21s, or under 18s, whatever it were. Chris Z played as well, so it must have been the under 23s. He turned out for them on Monday against Burnley, who were doing very well in that particular league. We got a 1-1 draw away. Jason Kerr played and Chris C scored after 88 minutes. So it's good to see Big Jace back on the turf. Another bit of news coming out of the camp. James Carragher, who has made the bench as well this week, coming back from injury, has gone off to Scotland until the end of the season. Gone up to Inverness Cali Thistle. I think they're in the championship in Scotland, not the top tier, the second tier. He's gone up there to get some minutes played, and I think he needs that now because he's been out for a year, so it'll do him a world of good. Right, let's move on to this weekend, back to bread and butter stuff. Got a trip to Northampton, who, I'll be honest with you, impressed me immensely when we played them down here. I've spoken to Danny Brothers from It's All Cobblers to Me podcast, and let's have a listen to how that went. We're off to Six Fields on Saturday. Reverse fixture was our first home game with Northampton Town. Delighted to say we're joined once again by Danny Brothers from It's All Cobblers to Me. How are you doing, Danny?
Hello, all good. All good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I've sung the praises of Northampton Town to many of people. You really impressed me in that first game at our place. I'm delighted to see how you're doing at the moment, ninth in the table. Has it come as a shock to yourselves and the Northampton fans?
To be in ninth, yeah, for sure, 100%. It's a massive shock to all of us. I think we were expecting a relegation battle, most of us were quite happy to be, you know, we'll finish in 20th and be happy. And then just go from there and build, because we've been a club that's been yo-yoing so much over the last few years that you just want that one season back and then you can build on it and build on it. But what we've done, we've pulled off some cracking results. We've played pretty much the same way in most games, the way we would have played up at your place on the second day of the season is pretty much how we played the whole season. And it's, for the most part, it's come good for certain teams like Stevenage, who are going to get in your face, and Carlisle for the second half, who have really pressured us. Derby play the way that they do. Certain teams have really bothered us and we've took a couple of hammerings, but we just kept on playing the way that we play. And it's almost come as a shock to the league, I think, for the most part. So it'll be interesting to see second half of the season when teams start to get more knowledge of us, because I think our past, you know, last time we came up, we were under Keith Curl. We all know what Keith Curl football was like. It was route one, get it to the front man, get it forward as much as you can. Whereas now we're a lot more of a footballing team, and it's taken us quite a while to adjust to it as Cobblers fans the last couple of seasons. So it must be taking the league a little bit of time to catch up. I think we're just enjoying it at the minute. You just got to enjoy it while you can at this point, haven't you? We've got no kind of pretensions really of ambitions of getting into the top six. I think that's a little bit out the way at the minute. It's literally get to 50 points and see what happens from there. But we're really, really enjoying it so far.
I think that's the thing, just enjoy football.
Yeah, exactly what it is. It's every win is really, it's a great moment for us. I think John Brady at the start of the season said, you've got to fight for every point, every 3 points, every point's going to be celebrated. And he definitely celebrated the points at Lincoln quite well a couple of weeks ago, and we all did. And it's just enjoyable. I think since COVID, I think me especially, I've just been like, you know, you win a game of football, I don't care about anybody saying, coming on and being celebration police. You've got to enjoy every win and every moment. I'm sure you're the same. It's, you know, enjoy every win, and we're doing well. And it's such an enjoyable season for us so far.
Sean Maloney, our gaffer, says he doesn't want to draw games. He wants to win, so he goes for the win. And that seemed to be the case with you, John. At our place, two teams going for the win. Is that John Brady's approach? John Brady being Northampton manager, of course. Is that his approach to the season so far?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing, yeah. Yeah, it surprised me a little bit the first time I saw us against you guys. We'd played Stevenage in the first game of the season, which was a kind of rematch from League Two, so it didn't really feel like we could judge it too well. But when we went to your place and played the way we did and almost come away with something, we played Lincoln the week after and got a 2-2 draw in the last minute. We then went and beat Peterborough 1-0 in our derby, which was just incredible scenes. And in all of those games, we played exactly the same. In some of the closer games, we've played the same. We played attacking football. We've played with the ball, played it out from the back. We've drawn teams into us, you know. And even if we lose, we've lost 4-0 to Derby at one point. We've come back and bounced back pretty quickly. You know, there's not been that many games where we've not been in. We've been in most games of the season. And yeah, it's just the way that we're playing. And some of the bigger teams will come up against, and we've fallen short a little bit, but we've always tended to bounce back pretty quickly, and picked up also some really, really good results away from home. Blackpool to beat 2-1 away is a cracking result, beating Lincoln 2-1 away from home, beating Oxford as well recently. We're starting to compete with the bigger teams as well.
Two of those wins there have come in the last six games, and looking at your form over those six, you've won four, drawn one and lost one. So really good form. But one thing I did notice, your top scorer, Sam Hoskins, hasn't scored. He's not scored this year.
Yeah, I mean, he has been injured the last couple of games as well, so he hasn't been in the team the last couple. When was his last goal? I'm trying to think, was it
Fleetwood?
It was Fleetwood, I think. Yeah, Fleetwood was his last goal from the penalty spot. But yeah, we do tend to spread them around quite a lot. We score in most games. We tend to have a good attacking play. Kieran Bowie's come good the last month or so. He's on loan from Fulham. I can't remember whether he played in the game against you at your place. I think he would have potentially come off the bench in that game, but he's filling the role that Louis Apare was holding in the central striker position. So he's coming in the last month, and it's almost been like a new signing. He's given us a fair few goals himself. I think he's scored like five in the last six or something like that. So he's really made that place his own since Apare's been injured. We've got Tyree Simpson, who would have played at your place. It would have been a completely different Tyree Simpson to the one now. In the last four games, like you mentioned, since the Oxford game, he scored the winner against Oxford. He just, you know, when them players just come back from like a really bad spell, and he's come back looking fitter, looking slimmer, looking like he wants it, and he's just running more. He's given us this new outlet up front. He's one of these players will get the ball and just charge at defenders, and I'm hoping that your younger defenders might not be able to cope with him on Saturday, because he's literally like a beast and a new player for the last few game weeks, and that's given us again another avenue. He hasn't scored loads of goals, but it's just his power and his pace will cause a lot of trouble. And we tend to have goals from all over the place. So it's a really good sign at the minute.
I've noticed that. And just to prove that, I did do my research there. So I did get the Hoskins' last goal at Fleetwood correct, didn't I? So I do research for these interviews.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And you mentioned that you've got a player on loan from Fulham. Of course we have. So that'd be interesting to see them two go head-to-head. Marshall Godot, who's electric, been one of our standout players this season. So looking ahead then to Saturday, I'm looking forward to this game of football because I think it's going to be an exciting game. Have you got a prediction for us, Danny, a score prediction? Can I ask you, first of all, is Sam Hoskins going to be playing or is he still injured?
I'm not sure. I don't think we've had an update this week yet. I mean, John Brady is usually quite tight on his team news. So it'll probably be a case of, it'll be touch and go or things like that. It probably won't give us a definite answer because he'll want to throw him in at the last minute and surprise you if he is. I'm not sure. And then the longer it goes as well, the more the rumour mill starts as well, doesn't it? Like you've got a player injured for the first couple of games. We've been reassured by the local press that it is just an injury. So hopefully it's not just a case of he's going to move somewhere and hoping he's going to be back. I think there's goals in it for sure. I saw you last night. I know you do struggle in front of goals, a goal a lot of the time, but the way you play, I feel like you can hurt us. And yeah, I'm going to go 2-2, I think. This
2-2, straight in there. No messing with that one.
I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. They're both teams, I know you're 4 points clear of the relegation zone, but I genuinely don't think you're going to get dragged into it at all. So both teams should be able to play with a fair amount of freedom. If you take the lead and we come back into it, it's potentially tired legs from Monday, tired minds. It might end up being a couple of goals apiece. So yeah, I think it's going to be an entertaining game. It should be a really good game.
I'm looking forward to it and I'm sure it will be. Thank you very much for joining us, Danny, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
All the best for Wigan as well for the rest of the season. Really, really hope that everything gets sorted out there and you can build on next season as well from the start.
I really was impressed with them when we played them.
I like what you were saying about these wins and Hoskins not. You said he's not scored this year. It's very difficult. Well, first of all, we're only a week into it, and secondly, he's not played.
No, well, they played. I knew that it was my attempt at being a comedian, but they've only played one game, and I knew he'd not scored since they played Fleetwood at the beginning of December. He scored a penalty against them. He was a bit slow to catch on, though, weren't he? Danny, come on, it's all good being my sidekick if you're not going to volley him home when I set him up for you. So, Sam Hoskins, and also impressed with the manager, John Brady, who seems to be doing quite well with them. The recent form, the last six games, they've only lost once, won four and drawn one. They've two defeats in the last 10, of which they've won seven. I think this makes for a really entertaining game on Saturday, and I think the referee will need to let the game flow.
That referee will be Cumbrian official Anthony Backhouse. He's 30 years old and he has been a nationalist referee since the 2017-18 season. He was promoted to Select Group 2 last summer, and of the 13 games so far he's refereed this campaign, six of them have been in the Championship. Backhouse has refereed the Latics five times in the past. Four of those times came at the DW Stadium. His last Latics game, though, was an away day at Blackpool earlier this season, where we lost 2-1. Anthony Backhouse has previously refereed Latics versus Northampton game, which was in September of 2017 at the DW. Latics winning 1-0, courtesy of a Michael Jacobs goal. Sammy Morsey and Jacobs both getting booked in that game, while Dean Bowditch picked up a yellow for the Cobblers. His card watch for this season for Anthony Backhouse, he's refereed 13 games, he's dished out 53 yellows, one red and two penalties. And that's Anthony Backhouse, who will referee the trip to Sixfields.
For Ryan saying, Barry, it used to be the county ground, did it? And it's all theirs.
It did, yeah. It was Northamptonshire cricket ground as well as a football ground.
Previously, we played the Cobblers on 38 occasions. Decent record, 120, drawn 12, lost 6. Our last meeting was back on the 12th of August at the DW Stadium with a CalMac special to win it. We've not lost at Sixfield since 2001, when a Jamie Forrester goal right on the half-time saw to our undoing in a 1-0 defeat. Since that game, we've met 10 times, winning 9, and lost just the once. That was coming at the DW Stadium during our admin season on Halloween in 2020. Over at the Sixfield Stadium, where they moved to in 1994, my favourite memory has got to be the last minute winner in our title winning season of 97, David Law. There were limbs everywhere when that goal was scored. Back to Barry for the predictions.
I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. Back to winning ways for us after our cup defeat. I'm going for a Northampton Town 1, Wigan Athletic 2, repeat of the opening home game of the season, and our first double of this particular campaign. So that's what I'm going for. We get Athletic to win 2-1.
We've no danger of after the Lord Mayor's show, have we? We didn't have the show. I think we'll do what we did on Monday night, except the result will be the other way around, and it'll be 2-0 to the Latics.
I don't think there'll be many changes. Be interesting to see whether he'll give Johnny Smith a go. He didn't look great early in the season, and recently he's looked very good when he's come on as sub. Obviously, we had the goal, clearly the goal at Barnsley being his high point. Be interesting to see if he starts again, whether he can do it. That's the way that Jones edged himself into the team. So that would be quite interesting. I can't see there being any change in the midfield. We don't really have many options, do we, to be honest? They have no fear, really, have they, because of where they are in the league. They're not going to go down and, you know, like Danny said, they're not going to push really for the playoffs. So it's a free hit for them. So it'll be an open game. I think that suits us. So I'm going to go for a 3-1 win.
You're talking about midfield options. It's been strongly suggested that Matt Smith was back training with the first team squad on Sunday. So that is absolutely fantastic news. And hopefully he'll be making a return to first team action sooner rather than later. Just to let the listeners know, the quiz night returns this week. Barry's quiz down at Whelan's on Friday evening. All proceeds going to the Latics Community Trust. We'll be back on Sunday with all the reaction to the Northampton Town game and a look ahead to Tuesday's trip to Doncaster in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. Until then, up the six. Come on.
Up the league, six.